Well, good morning, everyone. Man, last week was incredibly unexpected, and I still don't think I've wrapped my head around just everything that's taken place over the past few weeks. It's been so amazing and beautiful, and the family has just poured out you guys' love, and we are just so grateful for that love. This morning, we're going to be continuing the series that we've been talking about of being created for more. And if we remember, we begin Genesis 1 when it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said that it was good." There's an interesting thing about this word for good. Good, Lindsay and I were talking about this word one time, and I began kind of digging a little deeper to kind of unearth what is this term, you know, what is the terms that lie behind it? What is the Greek? What is the Hebrew? And I came to realize and to discover that the word for good actually means beautiful. And Lindsay said, "You know, that makes sense." She said, "If you brought me some flowers home and gave them to me, and I said, 'Well, those are acceptable, they're good,' yeah, that probably wouldn't be well received by myself. But if I brought them and she said, 'Wow, these are beautiful,' there's such a richness there. There's such a complexity and a depth." And so when we look at this, every time God says that it was good, and that's seven times in Genesis 1, and at the end he says very good, I mean, he's talking about the beauty of it all, how incredible this is. Which makes me sort of back up and ask one fundamental question: what is beauty? I'm not convinced that we have a firm grasp about what beauty actually is. And why I say that is because look at all the ways that we use it in our society. Beauty is a product. Beauty is a cosmetic. Beauty is an aisle at the department store. Right? Beauty is something that we purchase from a tube. Beauty is something that describes the way a person looks on the cover of a magazine. These are the ways that we use the term beauty. And when I think about that, I just think there's something so amiss with this. Kellen, if I could go ahead and get it. Next slide. One writer, I think you ladies might actually be reading one of her books, Margaret Feinberg, she said, "Our modern culture has watered down beauty to mean little more than prettiness, popularity, or likability. We talk about the beautiful people as those who possess something that we do not." Go ahead and read it. And so, essentially, she says, beauty is used to describe everything we prefer. So essentially, in our usage, we say beauty is in the eye of who? The beholder, right? It's just something cultural. It's something societal. It's something that changes based on age. It's something that changes based on what size pants you wear. And these are the ways that we use this term beauty. And I look at this, and when I think about this passage here in Genesis 1, that beauty is what God said creation is after he had made it. I have to say, there's some sort of disconnect between our common usage of this term and what God really intended. That maybe beauty is more, it has a deeper purpose in God's creation than our common misuse of the term. And so, when we look at this, we talked about last week how in Genesis 1, God is ordering sacred space. That God had created everything, but it was still wildland and wasteland, formless and void, as many translations say. But when God orders it, then it's good, right? It's when it's ordered, it's then that it's beautiful. And I thought, how awesome is that thought? I mean, think about it. Random music notes are not beautiful. But when you put them together and you create a song, the song is beautiful. Random pieces of equipment or random pieces of construction material are not beautiful. But when they come together and they construct a building like this, when there's order that's brought out of the chaos. I mean, think about what a beautiful life is. A beautiful life is when someone takes the chaos that they've been handed and creates something ordered and amazing out of it. That maybe this process of God ordering is what brings beauty into being. That beauty has something to do with God's order. But more than that, beauty, I believe, and this is where I'm at just right now in my journey, I believe that beauty is our connecting point with God. That there's something about beauty and creation that connects us to God. And so when God created all things, He declared them good. Butterflies, good. Fish, good. Trees, good. People and societies and cultures, all of this is beautiful because it flows something from who He is, right? We're told, and we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks, but we're told that we are created in whose image? In God's image. And so if we're created in God's image, then, and He says that all of these things that were created are good, well, we need to backtrack a little bit and say, well, what is it about God that makes Him beautiful? If creation emanates from His identity, and He calls it beautiful, what about Him Himself? Well, you know, it's really fascinating that we have this aspect of God's nature that we talk about, that we have been trying to explain and wrap our heads around for generations, and that is that God is triune. And when we talk about the triune nature of God, we talk about that God is one in three and three in one, and we try to use all these different ways to explain that. But if you look at the very beginning of creation, all aspects of God's community are there, right? The Father, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God spoke, and then things became ordered being, right? The Word, as John tells us in John 1, is Jesus, right? The Word in flesh and made His dwelling among us. Well, that's Jesus. So all aspects of God were here at the beginning of creation. And so for centuries, Christians have tried to explain what this looks like. What does this relationship with God look like? And there's this very, very ancient Greek term that they use to explain that. And that Greek term is perichoresis. Now, you don't have to remember that term. But to literally translate that out means like circumcision, which probably not something you're going to get into a heated discussion about this week. What's your thoughts about circumcision? You know, people will look at you like you got three heads. Yeah. But it's closely associated with another word that provides the metaphor for this relationship with God, and that is dance. It's interesting that Nathan talked about that a couple of weeks ago, because I was like, we're going to be getting into that in a few weeks. What is it about dance that is so... culturally, it transcends cultures, it transcends boundaries, it transcends time. Because when you look at dance, dance is this mutual give and take. It's this movement to rhythm in which each partner enjoys each other's steps. And from that, there comes beauty. Right? And this is the word that the ancient Christians used to describe this relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because out of this mutual give and take and this relationship that God has with Himself, there comes newness, and there comes beauty, and there becomes life. And so when we think about beauty, it all is centered in God's identity. And so what comes out of this dance that God has with Himself? Well, Kellen, we're going to watch a short video. We'll be right back. put it out on Facebook this past week of everybody, what to you in creation, when you look at it, demonstrates the beauty of God. And these are the pictures. I had almost 30 people put pictures of experience they had where they're like, you know, when I see this, I feel close to God. When I see this, I see God's handiwork. Because in Psalm 19:1, the skies proclaim His handiwork, right? And so these are your pictures. I appreciate everybody uploading these pictures and helping with this morning. But this is what comes out of this relationship that God has with Himself. There's creation, there's newness, there's beauty. And when I think about this, I think about a poem that the ancient writer Augustine wrote, and it's actually in your bulletin, and you can read along with me. He says, "Question the beauty of the earth, the beauty of the sea, the beauty of the wide air around you, the beauty of the sky. Question the order of the stars. The sun whose brightness lights the day, the moon whose splendor softens the gloom of night. Question the living creatures that move in the waters, that roam upon the earth, that fly through the air, the spirit that lies hidden, the matter that is manifest, the visible things that are ruled, the invisible that rule them. Question all these. They will answer you, behold and see, we are beautiful. Their beauty is their confession of God. Who made these beautiful changing things, if not one who is beautiful and changes not?" Psalm 65 reads this way. "Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, the one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the people, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it, you greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water, you provide their grain. So you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy." Beauty is our connecting point. So what does this mean for us to say that God and His personal identity and His triune nature is beautiful, and that what emanates from God when He orders creation is beautiful? What does this mean for us as the church? Well, a Scottish theologian, he put it this way in the 19th century. He said, "Faith without a sense of beauty, or a religion that is severed from imagination and over-engrossment with public and practical affairs, leaves us with a drought in our own souls. No longer evokes a sense of wonder." Maybe for us as the church, beauty is not only something that we witness, it's not only something that we know about God's nature, but it's something that we take part in. Because there's a really fascinating thing about this word for beauty in the Greek, kalos, is the word kalein, which means to call out. Like, beauty calls us out something, or maybe into something else. I tell you those because they both relate closely to the same word for church. Does anyone know what that word for church, that Greek word for church is? Ekklesia. It's got the same root as beauty, as being called out. We are the called out ones. Maybe beauty has something integral to do with what we are called to do as a people of God. That maybe, as someone once said, if we lose the sense of God's goodness and wonder and beauty, that we miss a fundamental aspect of our mission in the world. Maybe you and I were made for more than what we oftentimes use beauty to describe. Maybe we were made to be in the image of God. And if that is a reality, not just for us as the people of God, but for all humans, they need to know that. They need to be called into this identity to realize that they are beautiful not because of the size of jeans they wear, because of what products they wear, what's the going trend of that day, but because they have a Creator whose image they bear in themselves. That they are beautiful because they are living in the order that God had given them when He created them. And maybe as a church, we have a calling in our worship, in our day-to-day life, in our fights for justice, in our bringing the message of salvation, to communicate that God's beauty is the connecting point with Him. And we can invite others into His beauty as the church. There's someone who once said that, you know, we need to learn that word repeated hundreds of times in the Scripture, to behold. Perhaps the greatest thing that we can do as a Christian community is to behold. Behold our God. Behold His creation. God somehow demands of us so much more than just this transactional nature. It is really about the gift that we've been given. And the only response we can give back is with extravagance, with gratuitous beauty. And we need to tell this story, talking about the story of the gospel. Not the story of pragmatism, not the story of utility, the story of God's beautiful extravagance. Because what really moves us tends to be someone who can behold. This morning, our challenge is to invite others into the identity that God gave them. To realize that when we peer out into creation, all of this isn't just a random act. All of this isn't just something that fulfills a utilitarian purpose. Yes, for sure. Everything in creation is created for a purpose to be used. But beauty, it's not only to be used, it's something to be appreciated. And people need to know that God created them to be more than what the people defining beauty are trying to push them into. People are created to be beautiful because they are bearing God's image within them. And so when you look in the mirror this week, when others look in the mirror, we oftentimes want to peer into our imperfections. But what if we looked at God's perfection living within us? What if we looked beyond the facade to see the beauty of the Spirit and to know that God created us in His own image? Invite others into that identity. Go out and create and express and live out beauty, realizing that when you do that, when they see God's beauty living in you, they may want to be a part of His life too. And this morning, if you have never been into the life of God, if you've never placed your faith in Him, you've never been immersed into Him and found that identity, not only just as an image bearer, but as a son or daughter, and you need to make that choice today, well, then God invites you as we stand, as we sing.